Hello, advanced and intermediate plus tier patrons. Welcome to the unanswered queues. Hope you had a good weekend. Last week was a bit too busy for unanswered queues, so let's see what we got for the main pod.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Cover off the best of the questions from now on this now for you. Craig Gardner, not that one, says, is Richarlison a consideration now whilst the fixtures are good? Or later when Sun goes to the Asia Cup, but fixtures look trickier. And Madison could also be back. Got burnt at the start of the season going Richarlison over Madison. Well, you can't get burnt going Richarlison over Madison this time because the best case scenario for Madison looks to be game week 21, which will be away to Manchester United. And that appears to be the best case scenario for a lot of the players. That includes Mickey van der Ven as well. I suspect Madison probably won't make that. I mean, probably game week 22 against Brentford for Madison particularly is probably more likely. Mickey van der Ven might be, I don't actually have any scientific answer for this, but might be a little bit ahead. Richarlison's under consideration for me for wild card. I think I probably wouldn't go there at the moment unless I was on that. The thinking is beneficial twofold. One, I can take a punt on someone at around about that value. And as you say, the fixtures are pretty good. Also, if it obviously works nicely and he does stay through the middle, then we know he's staying there, obviously, while Sonny's away. I just think it might just be one that's just opportune, right moment for someone on a wild card. Now, let me tell you this right now as well. You think the likes of Darwin Nunes is frustrating? Yeah, wait till you see Richarlison. But it does boil down to this: whoever plays centre forward for Tottenham, create the chances. Can you finish them? And to be fair, when the two came yesterday, he finished them. So let's say, well done. He's just come back from injury. His fitness levels did look good. I thought he worked really hard off the ball, which, to be fair, I always feel like he works hard. It's just his touch and stuff really lets him down. But he says that he's pain-free and he hasn't been for a long time. So it could be one that just falls really nicely. It could also be that he goes on the left and Son goes back through the middle. And then that's not really appealing at all. But I'm happy to take it as a punt. My biggest concern with going for him would be because I know that he will play through the middle while Son is away, that it might be that I just end up sticking with him for ages. And that's, you know, that could be sort of 8 game weeks or so, which for someone like him, I think is too long. So if I go down that route, I want to go with more security in terms of other players in my squad. It is pretty punty. Based on one game. Let's be really honest, and this includes me as well. If he'd not scored yesterday, he'd be under no consideration at all. We're reacting on something because of yesterday's returns and hoping something might be there. But he is under consideration for me as well, despite the fact, you know, he's not my favourite player. My Cayman fan, Matt, says, whose defence concerns you most at the moment? Newcastle, Chelsea or West Ham United? Not West Ham. I just think yesterday was bad. I know Suj speaks about individual errors a lot, but I saw firsthand on Thursday what the capability is defensively. Newcastle, I think, without Pope, has become an increasing concern. And for Chelsea, they can't settle on anything, so they can't get any continuity. It's the opposite with Newcastle, where they can't change anything. Chelsea's just got no continuity with what they're doing and in terms of their selections. I think West Ham not been helped this week by Fabianski coming into the team as well, because it knocks the continuity. That was fine at West Ham because what in front of him defended well. With Aaron Cresswell in there yesterday, it obviously didn't. So there are cons to all of them. I would say, arguably for all three, the FPL asset that would interest me the most in each scenario is the goalkeeper. I do note there's a report that's gone around this morning which someone, forgive me, I can't remember who, has posted on the Newcastle Slack channel, which suggests that Dubravka may be playing with an injury himself and therefore Newcastle may be looking at going into the transfer market in January. I'll keep my eyes on that, see what the response is this week. When people mentioned that last week, it was largely shot down. But if he has a problem, then that is a problem. And it's also a problem for Newcastle defensively in terms of expectations. It might just be, despite those three fixtures, it might be a void. I don't think this would be a really big call. I don't think it's beyond reason that Fulham go there and win on Saturday, which would be a massive shock because no one really wins at St James's. I know Liverpool did. But most teams, let me put it this way, most teams who aren't sort of competing for top six or whatever don't generally go to St James's and win. I don't know who the last team that did was. But I don't know. They're in a really good moment. Fulham and Newcastle won, and then you've got the Milan game Wednesday. Of course, Newcastle would be big favourites. Would probably expect Newcastle to win, but I wouldn't be hugely shocked if Fulham went there and got something. We spoke earlier about Luton's home run and what they've done against the best teams. So what's actually the expectation on Newcastle next week? Then it's Forest. That gets a thumbs up. Great fixture. But then it's rough. Then it's Liverpool. Then it's City. Plenty to think about. Newcastle. Chelsea would be very interesting. Sanchez, who may have obviously picked up his own problem yesterday. Otherwise, I think it's an avoid. Unless, if Cucurella's out for a prolonged period, I could see me going Colwell. Fucking boring, though, isn't it? I'm not sure, you know. Sam O'Sullivan says, when is the open bus parade after Suge brought the five-a-side trophy home on Sunday? I was shocked. I was shocked to hear that the lads won it yesterday. And I was even more shocked to hear we was the best team there. I know we had some good players, but I was pretty shocked to hear that. And apparently there's a date locked in, actually. March the 25th, maybe, for the next one. And it's international weekend. So five and side, I should try and get myself ready and try and play, I think. Nico, you want to play as well? Can you kick ball? Of course I can. I'm Portuguese, he said. You remember a guy called Helder Pastiga? What about Luis Boamorte? Professional player. Better than Nico? Yeah, better than you? Alright, I wanna see you kick ball before I judge. Bless you, mate. Finance Fitness FPL says, which of the below teams do you think will keep a clean sheet this week to help me with defensive selections? Right, I'm gonna go through this. Tottenham. Nottingham Forest. No. Newcastle at home to Fulham. No. Liverpool at home to Manchester United. Yes. Which, me saying that out loud, has made me think about keeping Shimikas. Arsenal at home to Brighton. No. Villa at Brentford. No. I'm not convinced about that Liverpool one either. Might be none. So therefore, if those are your selection, you haven't listed which Villa player there. So it's listed like Porro, Cher, Shimikas, Gabriel. So from that, you play Porro, Shimikas. And I think subject to which Villa player you go from there. Realistically, despite what I've said, picking a Newcastle player at home to Fulham is probably the right choice. FPL Planner says, can Richarlison cover Sun? So a little bit of an extra on top of the first one. I kind of hate this sort of question because what is that? Cover? I mean, look. I've been covering off Salah's returns, but not with Darwin Nunes. Been covering him off with Son and Saka and Bowen and Watkins previously. So can Richarlison cover Son? Well, look, short period. So we're only talking over a four-game week period. Can Richarlison outscore Son over the four games? Sure. Sure he can. You might need Son to create chances for Richarlison, though. Bear that in mind. FPL Cock. It could be Koch, but I'm going with Cock. Will AFCON Asia Cup wildcards be popular this season? So, as per the Patreon Q&A, I think Game Week 20 will increase in popularity for those who are not going now and want to use wildcard 19. May wait for Game Week 20. Just a little bit easier to manoeuvre back to Manchester City and cut yourself off of Heung-Min Son and Mo Salah perhaps a week early. I mean, it's worth saying for me at the moment, if I do go Salah Son, that's every other Asian African player is completely ruled out for me if I go with those two players. Literally, so like kudos on that. Nah, no interest. Can't go there if I'm going those two players. In terms of people using their second wild card over that period, I imagine there'll be quite a few in Game Week 21. because people will land there with the likes of Salah, Son, and perhaps a few others and just have too many problems and go, well, this is going to be my biggest problem, deal with it. So I wouldn't be surprised if a few other people do use their second wild card in game week 21. I would strongly recommend it. The reality is now we're coming into game week 17, so there are four game weeks before AFCON and the Asia Cup. It needs to be part of the plan, and it needs to be part of the plan now, what you're doing about Salah's, Son's, and your other players, if you have got your likes of Kudos, even, you know, someone like Antoine Semenyo's not going, oh, he's my cover. Nah, he's going to AFCON. So that needs serious consideration at this point. I would not be keen on a game with 21 wildcard. Abdul Karim says, congrats on the win, totally deserved. What to do with Isak and Darwin? Covered both of them on the Patreon pod, so... Look, if Wilson's a sub on Wednesday again and Isak starts again and plays the majority of the game, that's got to make you pretty nervous whether he starts against Fulham, I think. And then, therefore, that could be Bin. On Darwin Núñez, I don't think that's disastrous to keep that. I'll be honest, my strategy as part of getting him in game week 14 was to take all five fixtures. And for him to stay, it's three fixtures at home in the next four. Then Salah goes to AFCON, and the security of minutes can only increase from that perspective, I think. Isak's really short-term thinking. Darwin, I think, I know it's been a difficult week for owners, but I don't think it's terrible to keep. And he could even hang around for me, you know, he could do. Is it worth downgrading Trippier to Livramento now, or should I just bench him? I think ideally with Tripp's bench, but obviously subject to what you've got. Again, obviously wait till Newcastle's game Wednesday night's gone out the way, because, you know, Livramento has played nearly all the game last night. He'll play the majority of the game Wednesday night. Then he's presumably going to cover for Tripp's at right back on Saturday. It's a lot. It's a big ask.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, bad deal.
Yeah, do you know all that sleep I caught up with Saturday night? I slept 9 hours Saturday night, Nico. 9 hours. That's like two nights for me, bruv. Yeah, I ruined it last night, though. This week's Trippier problem could be next week's Livramento problem, is the point. Considering Sanchez is fit, is he a better option than the Bravka? Cheers, mate. Well, the news today would suggest so, but then I don't know if either of them are fit. So what I want to do is kind of stagger my thinking on positions. So goalkeepers, I think, is his own conversation. And I'm probably going to begin to look at it a little bit tonight, because I want to kind of come up with my choices for that. And obviously, I don't have to stick to it, but for Chip Talk for you tomorrow, go through my kind of thinking of, okay, currently with Haaland and without Haaland, and look at those two options and have them both ready based on that. And I think that means me coming to... I think once I make the goalkeeper conclusion, the rest will become a little bit easier. I might even run with Leno and Neto. Might sound a bit extravagant and perhaps a bit expensive, but I might even run that way for a little bit, I'm thinking, possibly. But I would like to make goalkeeper decisions tonight. I haven't overly thought about it. My instinct coming into doing this on Saturday was... Sanchez, Dubravka, Areola, let's not spend all the money at once. I've seen some statistical stuff which reminds me that Leno and Neto are good, consistent FPL goalkeepers for a longer-term choice selection. Then if I go both, should I really be spending 9.2 or whatever it costs on the two goalkeepers? I need to think about it. So I can't give you the answer at this point in time because I don't know what I'm doing. FPL Jill says, mine's active too. That's in relation to wildcard, obviously. We have Haaland if we get no news. No news means he's out. I think with Manchester City playing Saturday and Manchester City playing at home, I would expect some photographs on Friday. That would be my take. So if there's no photograph of him training on Friday, then it's no. It goes without, and I do, I think, as I said on the main pod, I think I would just captain Salah against Manchester United. His ownership would be off the chart. A lot of people have memories of what he does in that fixture. I don't think the alternatives this weekend are that great. Like, I don't love Sonny keeping as a left winger, sure. Do I love him as a a captaincy option playing there? No. Ollie Watkins at Brentford. I know Brentford have got a lot of problems. That doesn't feel great. Saka just doesn't feel like a captaincy option to me either at the moment. So it kind of goes from me kind of default Haaland into maybe even default Salah for a couple of weeks. So that if he's in training, he's smiling and stuff Friday, then me, I'm then convinced that he plays. And I get him and I captain him. And then we look at solutions, whether that's going to be keep through or sell for 1 week and go back. That means picking something really strong that's low risk. Probably rules out going people like Richarlison, for example. The FPL Dodger says, now with everyone having injuries and suspensions to deal with and will be most likely taking hits, is it worth showing patience and avoiding the hits and rolling, or take the hits now and prep for game week 18? Luke Williams disabled. This FPL is having a great FPL season. He said something to me the other week when we did the SkyPod a few weeks back, and he's really stuck with me. He said, and I'd never really thought about it. He said about FPL and kind of playing to the template and doing the basic things. And one of the things he said was like, you know, not taking hits. And he said it off the cuff like it was an obvious. And I think, and I'm not one who's big on taking hits, but I reflected on it afterwards and thought, yeah, me and it doesn't really work for me when I'm aggressive. And I was looking at this week as well, and I'm thinking, Jesus, if Haaland's out with the other problems I've got here, I'm taking minus eights here. And I'm also going into the territory of what I really don't like, where there's going to be maybe even a want to take hits for goalkeepers and defenders and stuff and don't want to do that. And that's part why I decided just to, yeah, it was going to be right time for me to go early. It wasn't going to be wildly different to whatever I wildcarded in 19. So generally speaking, yeah, patience. But as I said earlier, like you could have suddenly walked into this week with like Trippier, James, Charlie Taylor as your backup. They're all going to be out for injury or suspension. And you only need like one more and stuff. Then what? Now, if you're down to one defender, then there is a strong case to say that in itself is worth a minus four to get the two playing defenders. But the problem is you've also probably got a goalkeeper problem. You've got forward problems. I've landed quite fortuitous. I say fortuitous. Actually, no, it was always part of the strategy to have the wild card at this period. But it is also fortuitous that I've got it, that it's got me out of the problem. And what looks like it could be one of the most stressful and daunting weeks in terms of decision-making, I have the pick. And I think that's a privileged position that I'm fortunate to be in this week. James Nelson says, in your opinion, how did Newcastle beat Milan on Wednesday? We look absolutely shattered. Home crowd will help, but not sure that will be enough. Well, I haven't seen enough of Milan to give you something. I caught bits of the Dortmund game in the San Siro, and it looked like it got well beat in the end. Looked like if you could break lines of press and be quick with players like Almiron and Gordon, then you probably have some joy. But I can't give you too much on knowing very, very little about Milan. You've got to feed off the crowd. That's why I think Saturday's game is quite dangerous, because the crowd will get themselves up for Wednesday. It's not to say they won't be up for Saturday, but it's not the same. It won't be the same, I guarantee it. The crowd does have a big part to play. If Newcastle were playing in Milan, I'd say they'd get bait. It's difficult to say they weren't at it yesterday. We know why. There's mitigating circumstances. Can Newcastle beat Milan on Wednesday? Yes, definitely. And I'm pretty sure the game got to a point yesterday where the players must have began thinking about Wednesday as well. Sam Williams says, what Man United or Chelsea players would currently get in this Spurs team to improve them under Big Ange's style of play? Wow.
Okay.
Neither goalkeeper is my take. Neither right back, definitely not. Left back could be a place for Luke Shaw. I think Levi Colwill could be competitive left-sided centre-back, as could Lisandro Martinez when fit. Peak Thiago Silva, sure, but I mean, to be honest, Thiago Silva in Tottenham setup, no, doesn't work. Sandro Martinez, maybe, I think. Martinez and Romero. I've seen that somewhere before. Caicedo would certainly have a shot, I think. Prefer Bissouma technically on the ball. Personal opinion. But Caicedo wouldn't be far away, I think. Fernandez, good footballer. He could work. Probably not quite right. Could you find a place for Bruno Fernandes as the creative player? Yes, yes, I think definitely as the 10 in this team. Have your debates whether he's better than Maddison or not. I'm going to probably stick with my own player there. I think Conor Gallagher, I spoke about this in the summer, as a right-sided 8 actually for Tottenham could be really good. I think Pap Sarr's emergence this year has surprised how good he's been. And it was wonderful to have him back yesterday. He was great. Wing positions, Raheem would work. Definitely. An on-fire Marcus Rashford would obviously work. Up front. No, I mean, Sonny's still, isn't it, over the others. Raheem Sterling would be one. Would probably work quite well at Tottenham, actually, it feels like. To answer the question, it's probably not as many as it should be. I don't know if you... And maybe feed it back to you guys if you want a little task in response to this. Like, pick your combined 11 from the three teams as neutrals, see what you come up with. On the basis everyone's fit, so that includes your likes of Lisandro Martinez, Christopher Nkunku, all of that. All in football FPO, Alex says, why are Fulham now good and Newcastle now bad? Well, kind of Fulham I'm going to do on talking tactics. You'll have heard me say it already about these wide overloads. It's interesting. Newcastle were shattered. It's as simple as that. Stephen Hunt says, I'm also considering playing my wild card with the injuries stacking up and the lack of Salah in my squad. Is it madness to go without Haaland or should he be in the wild card squad? So for me, it's fairly straightforward. Like, if he's not available for next week, that's too much money for two games. And who could even guarantee that he'd be back for Everton in game week 19 at this stage, as in starting? Even then, any guarantee if he's still got pain? Did he play Everton and not play Sheffield United? Like, there's a case here to fight against this until there's more information. Again, I repeat what I always say. If he's fit, he'll play. It won't protect him for the Club World Cup. Won't be none of that nonsense. I'm certain of it. If he's 100% fit, he'll start. If he's a substitute, it's because he's not 100% fit. I'm near certain of it. So it depends. If he's fit, he's the best captaincy this weekend. It's clear. And therefore he would have to stay on that alone when I'm wildcarding, and then he's probably set it up to say, right, he stays there for a week and he's ready to go the week after. But two games out, like, ain't a sell. You could have Solanke for the two games against Luton and Forest, but a -4 pays back in appearance points and go back. ARFPL 147 says, who kicks the other person's ass in a hypothetical fight? I'm going to ask Nico this. Who kicks the other person's ass in a hypothetical fight? Young Suge, young James, or current Clayton? Nico has gone young Suge. I'm in agreement. Who kicks ass, young me or current Clayton? You're going to say fucking Clayton, aren't ya? Young you, I think. He's saying bullshit. Bullshit. Who bought you pizza today? Who bought you pizza today? Yeah, I'm the answer. Nah, to be honest, Clayton would kick my ass. I'm not a fighter. Rags says, is Emi Martinez world class? Right, I tell you what, here's what I do for you, right? When Aston Villa win the Premier League, I'll admit that Emi Martinez is world class. Finally, we'll finish with this one, FPL Crisis. Because I did promise I'd give a shout out to the person who had the biggest bad luck at the weekend. I forgot all about it. He says, or she says, Haaland, without any concrete news, what is the optimal path? Yeah, I'm not so big on optimal. He says, free transfer to another forward and keep money in the bank. Two transfers to get Son, even for a hit. Hold until 19. Here's some context to my question. And for the benefit of those listening to the audio, he sent a screen grab of his -8 from the weekend, which was selling Alvarez, Turner, Bumo and Heung-Min Son for Haaland, Gordon, Dubravka and Palmer for a net -20, which when you then add on the -8 works out as a net -28 hit. Erling Haaland needs time before a decision is made. If he's available at the weekend, he gets the armband for me and stays on wildcard. If he's not, he's got to go. That is all for the unanswered cues. Have a great Monday, patrons. Ciao for now.
The Fantasy Football Show.